When there was a desire to think about the activities of his own energy, then the heart, the seat of the mind, the moon, determination, and all desire became manifested. Purport. The heart of every living entity is the seat of the Supersoul, Paramatma, a plenary expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Without his presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to his past deeds. That means Paramatma remembers your karma and your desires. So, you know, that's Paramatma and Yamaraj, you know, they all work together. Yamaraj is like Paramatma, but that's what Prabhupada means here. The storage of our karma is remembered by Paramatma along with our desires. Because we forget. We don't. Do you remember, anyone remember their last life? You know what you were doing this time in your last life at this age? No.
Yes.
Without its presence, the living entity cannot get into the working energy according to his past deeds. The living entities who are conditioned in the material world are manifested in the creation in terms of respective inclinations inherent in them, and the requisite material body is offered to each and every one of them by the material energy under the direction of the Supersoul. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 9, text 10. When, therefore, the Supersoul is situated in the heart of the conditioned soul, the requisite mind is manifested in the conditioned soul, and he becomes conscious of his occupation as one is conscious of his duty after waking up from slumber. In other words, Paramatma reminds him, this is what you wanted, get back to work. Therefore, the material mind of the living entity develops when the Supersoul sits on his heart, after which the mind, the controlling deity, moon, and then the activities of the mind, namely thinking, feeling, and willing, all take place. The activities of the mind cannot begin without the manifestation of the heart, and the heart becomes manifested when the Lord wants to see the activities of the material creation. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I have a godbrother who, whenever there's a discussion on Guru Tattva, always talks about a guru that is often neglected, and that's Chaita Guru, the guru in the heart. He's not talked so much about. If you think about how much you hear about Chaita Guru as opposed to how much you hear about, well, there's the Diksha Guru, there's the Siksha Guru, there's the Vartma Pradarshika Guru, and then there's the Parama Guru. And, you know, we hear this all the time. In those discussions, I don't know about here, but in my experience, in those discussions, you don't hear much about Chaita Guru. The unspoken idea is, well, we're not pure enough to hear the Chaita Guru, so don't. It would almost be like Sahajiya to think I'm being guided by Chaita Guru. But Prabhupada once said that the duty of the guru is to put the disciple in touch with the Chaita Guru so that the Chaita Guru can guide the devotee. And often, Prabhupada said, and he showed it in his inner exchanges with the devotees, that sincerity is the qualification for the Supersoul to guide us, just like in Bhagavad Gita, Tesham Satata Yuktanam Bhajanam Priti Purvakam Apurvakam Dadami Bhuti Yogam. I'll give intelligence. So you could read many letters in which devotees were doing things and Prabhupada would say, I can see Krishna is giving you intelligence. Then sometimes, even when you'd ask Prabhupada how to do something, he'd say, just be sincere and Krishna will guide you. There's a beautiful story in this connection that one of our God brothers was thinking that we should create a course in teaching how to distribute books, you know, step one, step two, step three, you know, like a, what you call a, I don't want to say a system, but like, you know, anyway, you understand, a training, like this is how to do it. This is what you say when they say this, you know, like a calling, like a sales pitch. They say this, you say that, like that. So he and another God brother, who I don't know if the other God brother was really into that idea, but anyway, they had an opportunity to see Prabhupada. I think it was an accident, but they thought, well, here's our opportunity to ask Prabhupada, what do you think about this? So they told Prabhupada the idea, and basically he wasn't that excited about it. He wasn't entirely against it, but he said it's a little artificial. And then Prabhupada, well, you'll understand what he meant when I say the next thing, and Prabhupada said, every man is his own genius. In other words, we all have the supersoul, and the supersoul will guide us in a specific way suitable to our nature, our intelligence, and we will learn from the supersoul how to sell the book in a particular way. And it's interesting because that God brother who was telling Prabhupada we should train people, when he was trained up by one devotee who was like the top book distributor. And this God brother told me, he said, when I saw him distribute books, I told myself, I will never distribute books that way. I will have to learn how to do it another way. So on his own, he learned. And so this was a theme in the spreading of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, why would Prabhupada allow very immature devotees, spiritually immature and also pretty immature emotionally and in other ways, to spread a movement unless he had some faith that if they were sincere, Krishna would guide them, because he was sending them out all over the world to open temples at the age of 20, 21, 22, 19, and maybe only a devotee a year or maximum two. So it was always this was the theme. If you are sincere, Krishna will guide you. Krishna will give you intelligence. And you may have heard this saying, be careful what you pray for because you might get it. Have you heard that? There's a lot of truth in that. And Prabhupada once was giving class in Los Angeles, and he said that Krishna has a problem because everyone's praying to him, you know, and his super soul, the idea is super soul, Ishvara, Sarvabhutanam Hrideshe Arjuna Tishtati, Krishna says, I'm guiding everyone as super soul. What did Prabhupada say? He's directing. Prabhupada used the word in the translation, I'm directing everyone as super soul. There's no word direction in that verse, if you go through the Sanskrit, Ishvara sarvabhutanam rideshe arjuna tishti brahmayan sarvabhutane yantra rudani maya. There's no word direction. But rideshe means within the heart. So Ishvara is in the heart, so there's the connotation. He's in the heart. What is he doing in the heart? Directing. What way you want to go? Where do you want to go? He's the driver. You know? He's your Uber driver. Where do you want to go? And you say, I want to go here. And the Uber driver says, I don't think we should go there. It's a nasty neighborhood. It's kind of dangerous. Do you have your gun with you? No, I need to go there. Okay. So that's the way Super Soul works. You just tell him where you want to go, and he'll take you there. So Prabhupada was once joking in a class. He said, so... a person lives in a neighborhood that's a little bit dangerous and there's been a lot of thievery going on. So the person in the house is praying to God, please, please protect us from the thieves. And the thieves is praying to God, where's the house that has the most jewelry, the most gold jewelry? I was actually told in one country they have a meter and they walk down the street and the meter will tell them which house has the most gold. So, yeah. Not in this country. I won't mention the name of the country, but I'll just leave it up to your imagination what country you think it is. But so Prabhupada was joking that way, that The position of the super soul is to give guidance, but he will guide the thief. He will guide the devotee. He'll guide everybody. So then if you study Bhagavatam, you'll see another theme comes up, that the super soul is not really situated in our heart to guide us in any other way other than back to Godhead. That's the reason he's there. But we can't actually function because the super soul guides us intelligently. We can't function intelligently without the super soul. Actually, it's not even the soul. We think the soul's maintaining the body. Pull the super soul out and see what happens. See how that doesn't work. Prabhupada said, you sleep at night, you dream, you actually leave your body. And he said, how's it running? Super soul keeps it running. And you come back. Yeah. So it's not just the soul. But, what was I saying? I didn't sleep enough last night. What was the last thing? Where was I going with it? What? After the gold. What happened after the gold? So, yeah, all right. Something about what, where... Oh, yeah, that's it, yeah. So, thank you. I was just testing. I didn't forget. I noticed that whenever I don't sleep enough, I forget. I think there's something in Bhagavatam about enough sleep and intelligence. They go together, yeah. So, what was I just saying? What? Oh, super soul, please tell me what I was saying. Yeah. So in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada said the whole purpose of this creation, it only has one purpose. It's to get us out of here. That's the only purpose. That's like, you know, you'll read in Bhagavad Gita, Yayedam Daryate Jagat. And Yayedam Daryate Jagat is in the seventh chapter. And it means the living entities are maintaining this world, which, you know, when you first read it, I thought Krishna was maintaining it. But what Krishna meant was it's not that we're maintaining it physically, but it exists because we want to have a playground where Krishna doesn't come. We want to play separately. So it sounds like this world, and sometimes it's said, this world was created for us as a playground because if we want to be separate from Krishna, you can't go back to Godhead and like build your own little community. Well, we're not really devotees. You know, it doesn't work. It's like, no, you stay down here and you can play down here and you won't bother us up there. So we often say this world was created for us who want to be separate from Krishna. But in a higher sense, Prabhupada's saying, actually, the whole purpose of this world is only one. Everything in this world is meant to get us back to God. That's the purpose. So in the same way, you know, sometimes Prabhupada would say, well, you know, these scientists are trying to figure things out, and Krishna, you know, when he decides to let them figure it out, he goes, okay, now you can understand it. And sometimes theory just comes to them. And they have to write the equations afterwards. They didn't get the conclusion from the equations. They got the conclusion, and then they wrote the equations because Krishna was just like, okay, you're like struggling to understand this. Here it is. It just comes to you. Boom. And then you start working backwards. It's not normally the way it works. But from the spiritual sense, Prabhupada is saying, the only purpose the super soul is within us is to guide us back to Godhead. He's not to guide us to the house where we can steal the gold, or guide us to the place where we can get the best job, or guide us to how to do the best business. Although he'll do that, but that's not really what he's meant to be used for. We use him for that, right? But he's meant to be used to guide us back to Godhead. So I often, and this may sound, I don't know if it sounds offensive, it may sound strange, but I think it's a good example. I often think of super soul as a GPS. And why? Because the GPS takes you according to the address you put in. It only, and you know, if the GPS takes you to some place and you get there, you don't say, why did you tell me to come here? Just like you go to a restaurant and you order something and they bring it. Why did you bring this to me? because you ordered it. Have you ever had an event in your life and you go, why did this happen? Because you ordered it. You know, you ordered this body. You came with your past karma. You have certain desires. You engaged in certain activities. And as a consequence, ABC happened and you're like frustrated and angry because you think it's not what you wanted to happen or it didn't work out the way you wanted. But actually, you ordered it. I made a t-shirt. I said, karma is like cooking. Whatever you cook, you eat. It's exactly like that, isn't it? So, if you look at your life right now, technically speaking, you are exactly where you've planned to be. If you say, I don't like the way things are going, just think, just try to remember, you actually planned to be in this place by your, or are we actually planned to be there by our desire, and Super Soul is just you put in the address and he's just taking you there. Now, like that taxi cab driver, he's saying, you sure you want to go there? You ever hear that little voice asking you, you sure you want to do this? Raise your hand if you heard that voice, yeah. You know, I was once with Prabhupada in the garden, and they were talking about intuition. You know, animals have a certain intuition, and they, you know, they just, as puppies or babies, they know what to do. Prabhupada said, no. He said, there's no such thing as intuition. It's Paramatma. It's the Super Soul. Everybody wants to impersonalize the universe. It's not impersonal, some energy, something, some emotion, whatever you want to call it. He said, no, it's the Super Soul speaking. So, Prabhupada said, all the Super Soul's doing with us is talking to us all the time, saying, don't do this, do this. This is right, this is wrong. Do we always listen? No. But that's his business. So he's guiding us, so it's so beautiful. So when you put the address in the GPS, did you put the address that you want to go, or did you put the address that Krishna's guiding you to go? Something to think about. Now, as we progress in devotional service, Prabhupada said, the Super Soul will always be guiding us. It's just Chaita Guru. Not even Paramatma, it's your worshipful deity. That's Premanjana Charita Bhakti Vilochana. That's who's in your heart, you know. Your Ishtadev is in your heart. Your Ishtadev guides you. And so everything will happen under his direction. But the beauty, I think, one of the most beautiful aspects of our philosophy is, Prabhupada said, he once said, if you want to love Krishna, nothing will stop you. If you want to love Krishna, nothing in the world can stop you. And you're thinking, wow, so many things stopping me all the time. And Prabhupada's saying, no. If you actually want to love Krishna, if that's your desire, he will make sure you will succeed. Isn't that beautiful? Like, if you ever think Maya is strong, or your mind is strong, your senses are strong, or something is strongly taking you away from Krishna, this is such a beautiful, beautiful thing to fall back on, is that if I want to be Krishna conscious, the Dami Buddha Yogam Tam, Krishna will always help me. Always. There's no excuse. The only excuse is me. I'm the problem. Srila Prabhupada, what is the biggest obstacle to bhakti? You. And Prabhupada talked about this. He said, you have everything to be Krishna conscious, and you give it up, and your next birth you become a dog. So you're your own enemy. You're destroying yourself. Right? So, how do we destroy ourselves? By desiring something that's not good for us. And therefore, in the Shastra, you get this word, Atmahana, spiritual suicide. Like, how do you kill the soul? You don't, but you killed your spiritual life. Envious of oneself, which means hatred. Envy is dvesha. Dvesha means hatred. Self-hatred. How do you hate yourself? By not following the inspiration Super Soul is giving you, not listening, desiring something else. And Krishna says, okay, you want something else? All right, whatever. I don't want you to want it. But you're actually now killing yourself. You become effectively envious of your own self. You're harming yourself. So we're the problem. It's Krishna's not the Krishna. Why did you have to make Maya so strong? You know, couldn't you have made it easier? Why did you give me independence? Would have been easier if I couldn't choose to like turn my back on you. You know, all this stuff. Okay, just imagine now you had no independence. You're stuck here forever. It's not good. So the independence that got us here is the most beautiful thing because it's the very thing that's going to get us out of here. And when we use that independence rightly, Krishna will always help us, help us, help us, help us. And I've asked this question to so many devotees, and the answer is always yes. Have you ever tried to do something that you shouldn't have done and some calamity happened so you couldn't do it? Did that ever happen to you? Yeah, and you immediately know. Thank you, Krishna. I'm such an idiot. I was going to do that. And you so kindly stopped it because Krishna saw some sincerity within our heart. And he said, this boy or this girl is weak, but they're sincere. I'm going to help them. I'm going to crash their party so they don't crash. Before they crash, I'll crash their party and turn them around. That's the beauty of sincerity because we are weak. Yes or yes? That's living entity is weak, right? In its impure state, the living entity is weak. So in our weakness, we're helpless. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, Trinadapi Sunichena means I am helpless. I cannot be Krishna conscious without help. I can't do it on my own. It's impossible. So if we approach the process of bhakti in this mood of Krishna, I'm helpless, please help me, then Krishna is like, okay, fair enough. Let's do it. Why? Why does Krishna help us? Because he wants, as Prabhupada said, he wants us to go back to Godhead way more than we do. Krishna wants a relationship with us. And it's so interesting. I have such a difficult time convincing devotees that Krishna wants a relationship with them. No, why would he want a relationship with me? I'm just a rascal, you know. No, he does. No, it's not possible, you know. It's like, no, but he does. It's personal. He wants that. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur said, every living entity has a unique relationship with Krishna, although you can categorize it into different rasas. But within that, the relationship is unique because what Krishna experiences from each living entity is a special taste. That's amazing, isn't it? Like you can give Krishna a specific rasa, a specific taste in your relationship that no other living entity can give him, and he wants that. You can all say, wow. That's a wow. That's wow-worthy, isn't it? Prabhupada said, Krishna loves you even if you don't love him. So, like, you know, we think, oh, why would Krishna love me? And said, because he doesn't know how not to love. He loved Putana, he can love you, right? He loved Jagannath Mata, he can love you. I mean, you're trying to be a devotee and you think, Krishna doesn't love me, and he's loving Putana. Oho baki yam stana kalakutam. Why should I worship anybody else? You try to kill him and he gives you the position of mother. No, but he doesn't love me. You know. It doesn't make any sense, right? So why does Krishna help us as super soul? Because he loves us, because he's waiting for us, because he wants us to go back to Godhead. When Gop Kumar went back to Godhead, Krishna said, I've been waiting. You can write a whole song. I've been waiting for you. You know? Like right here waiting for him. So happy to see you. And then Gop Kumar is embraced by Krishna. And Gop Kumar has a realization, and this is a very important realization. He has a realization. We all say, you know, God loves all living entities, but somehow or other we think, but I'm not one of those living entities. He loves all living, but it's like a general theology, you know, kind of impersonal. God loves everyone. But when it comes to me, I think, well, I don't really think he loves me, although he loves everybody. Gop Kumar had this realization. It was very interesting. You know what he said? When Krishna embraced him and they exchanged these words of affection, and Krishna saying, you know, I've been waiting for you. If I were going to do a drama, I would Hollywoodize it and say, what were you doing down there? What took you so long? And what was so important that kept you down there? But anyway, Gop Kumar had a realization, a very interesting realization. He said, I knew Krishna loved all living entities, but I didn't realize it was personal, that he actually loves me personally. Like, he's like, okay, I got into Braj, and you know, I'm there. Shishirada Gokulananda Kijay. I'm there in Braj, you know, I'm there, but you know, like, personally loved me. He cares about me personally. I will now prove to all the doubters and the non-doubters, I will increase your faith, that Krishna loves you personally. Right now, I want to ask you, think about how you became a devotee. Think of the A, B, C, D, E, F, G that happened, that if it didn't happen, you wouldn't be a devotee. Like one thing didn't happen, you would, you know. You all know this, right? Isn't it? This happened, then that happened, then this happened, then that happened. One devotee went to the temple. It was in the winter. It was snowing. Someone stole his shoes. He couldn't leave the temple. Slept overnight, became a devotee. You know, like that. You know, those kinds of things, you know, right? We all have stories. There's this book, The Bond of Love, and it's all the female disciples of Prabhupada. And you read their stories. It's like, well, I was looking for spiritual life, and then, you know, this happened, and my boyfriend left me for another girl, and then, you know, I lost my job, and I had no place to... You know, it's like one story after another like that, right? Who was making those arrangements? Super soul. Why was he making those arrangements? Because it's personal. Because he knew you wanted to be a devotee, and he knew you needed help to be able to do it. And he wants you back. So what did Krishna do? He picked us up right out of Maya, off the path of Maya, the Maya Marg. He picked us up, pulled us out of that somehow or other. I remember Pragosh Prabhu was saying, and I think this is probably true for all of us. It's so funny. They asked him in the interview, for the Prabhupada disciple in the interview, they said, well, how'd you become a devotee? He said, I don't know. I can't believe. If I look back, I said, I have no idea how I got out of Maya. Maya's too strong. I don't really know how I did it. So, you know, if you think about it, it's like, who did it? It was Krishna just like went and pulled you off the Maya Marg and put you on the Bhakti Marg, right? Krishna did that for you and me. Why did he do that? Because he loves us. Because he wants us to go back. Would he have done that if he doesn't want us to go back, if he didn't care about us? No. It was personal. He knew exactly what we needed. And to this day, in our life, we see this happening all the time. He knows what we need. He does things. You try to enjoy this, it's a big temptation for you. Krishna will cut your hand off. You know that. You have that. He's aware personally. That's super soul. That's why Krishna exists in our heart. So please, my dear devotees, don't fight with him. Let him do his job. He's just, you know, he's telling you what to do. He's making the arrangements. Listen to him. Follow him. Everything will be good. But it makes no sense to resist, does it? So we have this other problem. This is like pervasive. Pandemic. I don't know if I surrender to Krishna, you know. I'm a little afraid what'll happen. You ever feel like that? Like, yeah. It's like, you know, oh, I have to tell you a story. This is beautiful. Beautiful story. There's a picture, there's a book, a little pamphlet called Reservoir of Pleasure. The BBT here prints books with different, some of them have different covers, but you ever see that? Do you ever have Reservoir of Pleasure here? There's a little, and it has Krishna just by himself, I think. By Jamuna, or where's a calf? So we were doing an exercise, and the exercise was, if I surrender to Krishna, what if? And you feel in the, like, you know, like the fears you have, right? But he has some reserve, you know, surrender to Krishna, he's going to take something away from me or make me do something that I don't want to do. I'll suffer in some way. So this one devotee had this picture of Krishna on her notebook. So she's doing the exercise, or she's thinking about it, and she's looking at the picture. If I surrender to Krishna, you know, he takes my husband away, takes my money away, takes my service away, makes me do something I don't want, puts me in this, sends me up to Scotland, I don't want to leave the manor, you know, like, just like, all, everybody has their list. And so we were sharing, so I know what was going on in her mind. So she said, I was thinking all these things, and then I looked at this picture of Krishna, and I realized, I said, would this, and she said, I asked myself, would this beautiful boy ever do anything to harm me? She said, no way, he would never, because he's the god of rasa, rasovaisa, he's the god of love, of relationship. Why would he do anything to harm me? And then we understand, if anything ever happened to harm me, that was only because Krishna loves me and that's what I needed. And if you go back to Godhead and you ever have a doubt, say, Krishna, you know, I know you love me, but, you know, in 2023, you took this away from me and I really suffered. Why did you do that? And Krishna just laughs and goes, because you wouldn't be here now if I didn't. Right? So, this is why the pure devotee can see everything as Krishna's mercy, because they know that Krishna wants me back to Godhead more than I do. I'm the one resisting. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sharanam, 1862, I think it is, Sharanam Gata. Go, you know, Prabhupada translates, Sharanam is surrender, Sharanam means shelter. And then 1865, you know. So Prabhupada translates it, surrender. So then there's all this like, oh my God, surrender, it sounds heavy, you know. And I've had to reframe that, because it's not actually what Krishna is saying. All Krishna is saying is, I want a relationship with you, and I already love you, so there's just your side. You're just, that's the problem, it's your side. Can you kind of like come up to speed? That's all Krishna is saying. He's not saying, you know, put your hands up, you know, open your, we're stealing your wallet and your cell phone and you're running off with it. He's not saying that. He's saying, I love you and I want you to love me, and I'm giving you instructions in the Gita how to love me. Man mana baba, just think of me. This is the process. Back to Godhead, and I want you there. That's what I want. That's all. That's all bhakti is about. It's just Krishna loves you and he wants you to love him. It's nothing else. And so in order to do that, he's in the heart and said, I will guide you. I will, from within, I will show you how to do this. I will give you realization that will always guide you how to better love me. I will even, if you chant the holy name purely, I will reveal your sthi bhav, your rasa with your relationship with me, and everything you need to know about it. You can get it all. I will give that to you. You can get it from the sadhu, but sometimes Prabhupada said you can get it from your guru after he's gone. You get it from super soul. And sometimes Prabhupada said he's like the super soul. Prabhupada, when you go, how will we talk to you? How will we know what to do? He said, I'll come to you in dreams. So like, you know, so Prabhupada, representative of the super soul, your guru is representing the super soul. It's all, there's all this wave of like guidance to go back to God, and we're like, I don't know if I surrender, you know, what's going to happen, you know. Maybe Krishna will send me like a really bad wife and I'll suffer, you know. Or, you know, or I'll never get out of the brahmacharya ashram, you know. It's like, okay, we have to be practical. When Krishna says take shelter, it's not like he's saying you become a sannyasi tomorrow. It's not like that. But really what he's saying is, I love you. Bhakti is about love. So he's kind of, Krishna's kind of saying, so when are you going to love me? Like, what are you waiting for? Like, what's like so important? Like, what do you got on your plate that's getting in the way here? So it's nice to think that way. And then this beautiful thought, I just want to emphasize, because I think this is the most important thing that I've said, although you may think other things are more important, but that if you want to be Krishna conscious, Krishna will do everything to help you. It's guaranteed. You just have to want it. That's all. If we just want it, that's it. And if you study Prabhupada's books and you chant properly, you will want it. And just knowing that, I have nothing to worry about if I just want to be Krishna conscious, because Krishna will do everything to help me. And I'll just sit there and watch it happen. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So have some questions or comments? Yes. Vishwambara. I'm on a mission. Can I tell you my mission? I'm going all over ISKCON teaching people how to say Gadadhara. It's not Gadadhara. It's Gadadhara. Gada. Gadadhara. Or if you're Bengali, Godadhar. Godadhar. Gadadhar. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar. My mission is failing. I tell people, like, and then we do kirtan, and it's Gadadhara, you know, because it's in the memory of the mind. But it's actually Gadadhara. Not a big thing, but just so you know. One of my crazy missions now. Okay, Vishwambara.
Wasn't that beautiful class? Everyone agrees.
Thank you.
I just wanted to say, yes, it's so true, you spoke from the heart, even though, you know, mind, heart's no different, really. What I was going to say, when I remember when Zonal Acharya, I don't want to mention the name, 1986, he dismissed himself. I got so discouraged. I refused the initiation in Italy a couple of times. Mm-hmm. Then I came here and I was starting to renegotiate my faith. But I was doing book distribution, and then he went. I think it was in 1986, isn't it? Right,
1986,
yeah.
Summer. I was there.
August. So I said, I think I'm going to leave ISKCON. I'm going to go back being a Catholic priest, whatever. So I wanted one last round goodwill tour in India. I was planning. Then I had a meeting with Shivaram Swami. He encouraged me to stay. Yeah, I have to say, he was very encouraging. But then I was stubborn. No, I have to go. But then I got my passport and my money, quote, stolen.
Krishna's mercy. Hari, hari, hari.
The rest is history. I'm sitting here now.
And Krishna loves you.
I've got a family here. I'm listening to your beautiful class.
You should write a song. When Krishna loves you, he takes everything away.
I should.
Of course, then all the devotees will leave ISKCON, you know, when they hear your song. But it's true.
It's true, when if Krishna likes you, he gives you so much. But Prabhupada said,
yeah.
If he loves you, he takes things away, you know, your idea away.
Well, you know, Prabhupada said, Krishna took everything away from me and he wanted to see what I would do. And then he gave me everything and he wanted to see what I would do. So sometimes there's just, you know, a little test. Like Krishna wants to give you everything, but he has to test you a little bit and remove the things that would make you, would give you trouble. But we see the opposite is way more true, that he just gives, right? Isn't it? I have so much stuff. I'm like, people always give me stuff. Like, I don't need more stuff. You know? It's like, Krishna's like, no, take it. You know? So, when I started as a brahmacharya, nothing. Right? This is a really beautiful point. Sometimes things are difficult. And you're like, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? And you can think, Krishna just wants to see what you're going to do now. Because he has something bigger to give you, but if you don't pass this test, he won't pass the test when he gives you something bigger. So if you can be steady when he takes it away, and he's like, okay, you can be steady when I give it to you. Right? So sometimes you can think like that. Oh, he's just testing me, you know. Bali Maharaj is the example, you know. Just want to see what you do when I take it away, and if you pass the test, I will give you more than you could ever imagine. That's what he did. And that's what he did for Prabhupada. For sure. And if Krishna didn't, I was in South Africa and it was really difficult when I got there. And Tulsidas said, well, just read the Leelamrita. You know, so I was reading how Prabhupada started in New York, and it was like 10,000 times more difficult than it was for me in South Africa. And, you know, some people say, well, why did Krishna make it so difficult for Prabhupada? So we could be purified by hearing those stories, realizing, you know, if it happened to Prabhupada, it's going to happen to us also. We may have to struggle also. But when you pass the struggle stage, Krishna's like, okay, good. Now here's the, we're going to bless you over and over and over. Every time there's a temptation and you turn your back on temptation, Krishna's like, yeah, that's my man, that's my woman. Isn't it? Krishna notices that. It's like, yeah. So, you know, temptation in a sense is, it's beautiful because it's just an opportunity to show Krishna, no, I'm not going to do that. You know, this is my favorite something since I was 2 years old. Now you're putting it in my face. I was like, no, I'm not going to do it because you're more important. Krishna says, yes, this is bhakti. This is love. This is what I want. So it's such a beautiful opportunity he gives us, right? So don't run away from those things. Embrace them. Thank you, Krishna, for sending this, because you're allowing me to turn my back on it and showing, so I can show you you're more important than this. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Someone else want to say something? Yes.
Thank you so much.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you so much for your beautiful class. When you mentioned that Chaita Guru in the heart guides us all the time, I was thinking, but I have difficulties distinguish between my mind and Chaita Guru. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, as you said, maybe Paramatma will say, oh, you wanted that. And
yeah,
we might get confused. Even.
Yeah, you're not the only one. You know, I can give a general answer. You know, obviously, if it's inspiring us and helping us, and, you know, we think this is coming from the Sarup Shakti of Krishna, internal potency, and it's bringing us closer to Krishna, it's coming from the Super Soul. But sometimes it's subtle, and it's like, is this the inspiration of my guru, or is this just, I just like to do this, you know? And sometimes it's really difficult, and you'll talk to, you know, devotees, and you'll get different answers from different devotees. And sometimes you just have to make a decision, and then you'll know. Oh, that worked really well. That was really good, or that was a disaster. And sometimes it's the only, sometimes you don't know. And Prabhupada was like that also. He was changing strategy, you know. So he would talk with his disciples. Should we do this? Should we do that? So even for him sometimes, on a physical level, it was not always clear. And so that's true for all of us. And sometimes we have to try. Even with the Gurukula, there is a place where Prabhupada said the Gurukula experiment, he didn't know if it was going to work. Isn't that interesting? I don't think anybody realizes that. It was, you know, and you could say, in one sense, everything Prabhupada was doing was an experiment. Can you chant 64? No. Can you chant 32? No. Okay, 16 minimum. That's all. Prabhupada, why did you give us 64? I wanted to see if you could do it. Experiment. Why, you know, the first initiation, they didn't find out the regulative principles till after the initiation. So, Prabhupada, why didn't you tell them? Because they'd all run away. If I don't know. You know, it's like testing, you know. So sometimes we don't know. We can't know. But prayer is important. Because when we talk, when we pray, who are we talking to? We're telling Super Soul. We're putting this in the GPS. Please give me guidance. I need to know. I want pray on this. Think about it. Chant on it. I was in Australia once, walking down the street, you know, just doing whatever I do. And there's a book on the bench about Radharani. It's like, oh, guess I'm supposed to have this book. That ever happened to you? You have like a question in your mind and some like, say, Prabhu, I have three extra books. Could you want to take one? And you open it up and it answers the question. It can come that way also. So I think the sincerity is most important. The prayer is most important. And the Maha Mantra is a prayer. Hare Krishna. You know, I need help. Yes. We all need help. That's our eternal constitutional position. Help. So be help. Be in a helpless mode. Prabhupada wrote me a letter and told me, he said that. If you're always feeling helpless, you'll always be thinking of Krishna. And that's humility. So when you're humble, you can chant all day because you need help. When you're proud, I don't need help. I don't need to chant. So it's good to be in that kind of confused state a little bit. You know, I'm not sure. Krishna, help me, guide me. That's not bad. You want to say something? No, no, no. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. You know, there's also transcendental philosophical confusion, which breeds katha discussion. And I have this idea: why did you know this verse, but that verse, and this doesn't make sense. And that's good because then it causes us to think and pray and come to higher realizations. So it's not bad to be confused sometimes. Sometimes it's actually necessary. Sometimes it's a sign that I'm actually thinking. You know, like I read this verse and this purport, but I read this one and that one, and you start thinking more deeply, and it's like, wait a minute, this is not making sense. There must be some higher way to harmonize this, and I don't, you know, and then you discuss it, and then you come to a conclusion. That's good. Thesis, synthesis, was it? Thesis, antithesis, antithesis, synthesis, yeah. Yes?
You used the word playground for Maya.
Yeah.
Which made me think.
Like, that's another song Vishnubhar is going to write.
So we used to be in this like transcendental, happy place playing with Krishna. And then we look the other way and we see this run-down, dangerous playground. And we're like, hey, let's go over there and play and not invite Krishna.
And you want to know, make sense? You want to make sense out of that? It's too late. That's a big discussion. It's not exactly the way you explained it, that simple. But jiva tattva, we are jiva tattva. And the nature of jiva tattva is that it's independent. So the jiva can choose Krishna or choose Maya. Whether we like it or not, that's the way we were created. We're that, of that energy, marginal. And here's the bad news, that most living entities did not choose the material world. They didn't make that choice. They chose Krishna. So, that was by far the biggest mistake we ever made, right? And isn't it interesting? That's definitely the biggest mistake, isn't it? Right? It's the biggest mistake we ever made to turn our back on Krishna. Yes? We do it all the time. We continually make that big mistake. Even during japa, we do it sometimes. That's really interesting. You know, we're like, you're like saying, I can't believe I did this. This is like the worst thing. Yeah, well, why not stop doing it then? You know, you can't, people say, I can't believe it. And I go, but we're doing it all the time. What's there to believe? You know, that's conditioned soul. That's what they do. Prabhupada comes to pick you up, and still, we don't always do what he says. So, that's what we're dealing with. And if we meditate on Krishna's love and that relationship that he's calling us for, it's very powerful. Because suffering is not the best motivator. Not for a relationship. Why are you with me? Because I suffered with all the other girls and I suffer less with you. She's like, oh. So you get back to Godhead and Krishna says, why are you here? So I couldn't make it in the material world, you know. It was like too hard competing with you, so if you can't beat him, join him. You know? Krishna's like, get out of here, you know. No, he wants love. So the suffering turns us around and faces us towards Krishna, but now we know the real motivation is love, because that's what will please him and that's what he wants. So that's what we want to focus on. You can always use the material world just, you know, in case you forget, you know, turn around, you can look at it and go, oh yeah, that's where I suffered. And, you know, get a few slaps if you need. But the real thing is the ruchi. That's more, much more important. The taste. Okay, is that all right? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gopremanandi, hari hari bo.